Middle East and Africa.
The Gulf States. Après nous, les déluges. Gulf states are changing, but how they talk to their subjects is not.
It was a very Dubai apocalypse. As your correspondent tried to reach the city's main motorway on April 16th, a chauffeured BMW was inching along the same on-ramp, by then more river than road. It looked to be ferrying a business-class passenger to the airport. But there would be no free-flowing Moët et Chandon in the lounge that day. The car was soon submerged in floodwaters and came to a stop. Last month's deluge dumped 142 millimetres, that's 5.6 inches of rain on Dubai, 1.5 times the city's average annual rainfall. The airport tarmac was engulfed, leaving thousands of passengers trapped at the world's busiest international hub. Stranded motorists abandoned cars for days on flooded roads across the United Arab Emirates, the UAE, the seven-member federation of which Dubai is a part. Unable to get home, workers and shoppers slept on the floors of shopping malls. That Dubai struggled with a once-in-a-century storm was no surprise. Most cities would. It handled the clean-up well, clearing roads and offering aid to people left homeless. What happened after the floods, though, spoke to a growing dilemma for the six monarchies in the Gulf Cooperation Council, the GCC. Like its neighbours, the UAE urges its subjects not to sweat the details. The media are tightly controlled, criticism of the government discouraged, and official statements unfailingly positive. For the most part, citizens and expats alike are happy with this model. The UAE scores well on global rankings of infrastructure, healthcare, and e-government. It handled the COVID pandemic far better than most countries. Crime is so rare that many residents routinely leave their front doors unlocked and bags unwatched. The UAE has an extensive cloud seeding program that uses chemicals and electric shocks delivered by planes and drones. Though the evidence on whether this actually works is sketchy, the country is happy to tout the scheme. Mastery over Mother Nature is very on-brand. Many residents have come to believe that a bureaucrat in Abu Dhabi, the UAE's capital, decides whether or not it will rain each day. Then the rain flooded their homes and businesses. The UAE said it did not run any cloud seeding missions on the day of the storm, though it may have on prior days. Scientists doubt that cloud seeding could have produced such a big downpour. If there was a man-made cause, most say it was climate change. But the lack of transparency around the program nonetheless left some residents to wonder if the government had indeed caused the floods. A few days later, messages zipped across WhatsApp that warned of diseases spreading through contaminated water. Again, officials tried to reassure. The Dubai Health Authority said on April 24th that the situation was stable and there were no reports of illness. On the same day, though, several local newspapers, not normally known for their muckraking, quoted doctors and pharmacists who spoke of a big spike in waterborne disease. No one bothers to think much about governance when governance is good, but it is harder for opaque governments to maintain their subjects' trust when things go wrong, or when they are changing. Saudi Arabia is trying to open up a conservative society and diversify an oily economy, the centrepiece of which is NEOM, a futuristic complex planned in the country's remote northwest. Its flagship project, the Line, is meant to be a linear city, a mirrored structure 170 kilometres long and just 200 metres wide that will cut a swathe across the desert. Some 1.5 million people are supposed to move into its confines by 2030. In public, officials insist that the project is moving forward as planned, but well-connected Saudis have whispered for years that perhaps only a few kilometres of the line will be built by 2030, with the rest not to be finished for decades, if ever. In the coming months, NEOM is expected to offer its debut bond sale, hoping to raise more than $1 billion. Investors will have to decide whether to put their money into a project whose main attraction may be orders of magnitude smaller than advertised. Uncertainty abounds elsewhere. In 2021, Mohammed bin Salman, the Crown Prince, promised that Riyadh would grow from 7.5 million people to 15 million and perhaps even 20 million by the end of the decade. Last month, though, Saudi officials made it known that they were lowering their target to just 10 million. Bad news for citizens who bought investment properties in Riyadh based on a promise that housing demand would double. Many Saudis have fretted in recent months that the kingdom, dry since 1952, is preparing to legalise alcohol. Perhaps to quell those fears, Ahmed Al-Khatib, the tourism minister, hinted in April that there was no need for booze. But if they reassured Saudis, his comments unnerved restaurateurs whose fancy new eateries are struggling to turn a profit from bread alone. Whatever the government decides, someone will be upset. But no one knows when or what it will decide, let alone has any say in the matter. Gulf states are changing fast. Some of the changes are of their own making. They are trying to attract talented expats and grow their economies. Others, like the risk of more big storms brought on by climate change, are not. What is not changing, however, is a paternalistic attitude whereby residents do not need to know anything beyond breezy government statements. Many officials in the GCC are rightly proud of the trust they have built through decades of good governance. To keep it, they may need to be more transparent.